Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHB. We welcome Stan Weber in studio. But first, I wanted to mention that I know there are a lot of people in KC who would love to go to the game on Sunday. And the good news is my friends from 360 Vodka are giving away two tickets to one lucky winner. You have to visit 360 Vodka on Facebook or Instagram to enter the contest. The winner is going to be chosen this afternoon. So check it out and good luck. Make sure to go to 360 Vodka on Facebook or Instagram to enter the contest, and they'll pick a winner of two tickets to go to the game on Sunday this afternoon.
Yes!
That would be a wonderful way to start your weekend off by winning tickets from 360 Vodka. So go to their Facebook or Instagram to enter the contest and do it today.
That
because
is awesome.
The contest ends this afternoon. Stan Weber, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. I mean, excited for football and not excited for the travel and weather today. So what a dichotomy we have. We'll get through this Friday, and then the weekend will be around. A big, big chance. What an opportunity. First time ever the Chiefs have been in the AFC Championship game back-to-back years. Is this going to be the norm? That's what's crazy. If the Chiefs can get through and get to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl, what it does is, this is thinking way ahead, but the floodgates open. Because all the stigmas and the wondering about can you do it changes to we're the dominant team. And you don't make it to the Super Bowl every year, but you can make it every third year and make it three times in 10 years, things like that that are just crazy. And that's how close we are because it's all been set up very well. Ever since the Beard threw the touchdown in New England for Miami, things have just fallen the Chiefs' way right and left. And it starts... I mean, it just continues this Sunday. You know, we can talk about this from a lot of viewpoints. One, I think we need to respect the Titans and talk about what might happen if the Chiefs were to lose the game. You know, how could that possibly happen? But, guys, are you kidding me? Other than 2009 when the New York Jets at 9-7, a wild card team, went to Indy, have we seen a team that's this bad going on the road to play in the AFC Championship game? I mean, Tennessee Titans are wannabes. They're 9-7. We can talk about a lot of good things, and I could. I said last week, right here with you guys, I thought the Tennessee Titans were better than the Texans right now, that Baltimore would rather play the Texans than the Titans. I believe that. I think the Titans are more dangerous than the Texans, mainly because of the coaching. I mean, did you see Bill O'Brien just fold and the idiotic timeouts that he used, how much it cost him? You know, if they had their timeouts right before the half, they could have drove down and scored a touchdown, settled the momentum, and said, hey, Arrowhead, yeah, you came back. It's incredible. We're sitting right here in a very close game. Let's go to the second half. Who would have wanted any more? But instead, just bad decisions all over the place, panic, bad sideline. Vrabel's different. Vrabel's tough, and he's got confirmation. And coaches only get confirmation from the players when they earn it. And when he went to New England and stared over at Bill Belichick and won that game, his team took a whole new thought process about what they got. Then they went to Baltimore and did the same. Right now, Vrabel's the real deal. Maybe not for year after year after year, but he's a dangerous coach. They're going to be tough-minded. They have a plan. Their players are going to believe. It gives them a chance. But the Chiefs are so much better than the Titans. It's unbelievable.
So there are reports. There's an article in the Star and reports that the Titans are going to have quite a large contingent out at Arrowhead as far as fans. And someone texted in and asked us, are you guys worried or concerned that Titans fans, 27% of the crowd, and I'm sure they will. I mean, that unless they get out there and help cover Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce.
If they let an extra eight of them on the field with the other 11, but that still means Patrick Mahomes will fire the ball right through their hands for a completion. I mean, it's so funny how good Patrick Mahomes played. You know, if you go back and watch the whole game, the thing that amazes me most is that the Chiefs couldn't have played worse across the board, right, in the first quarter, yet Patrick Mahomes had no bad plays. Just think about that for a second.
Yeah.
When the Chiefs are getting rolled, it's 24-0. Nothing is going right. They're punting the football. It's kind of a three and out or something like that early. Yet you go back and watch, and Patrick Mahomes did nothing wrong. He delivered the ball. You know, Kelce dropped an easy third down conversion. Patrick Mahomes had no bad plays. Tyreek Hill, that was a perfect throw downfield. Now, he got mad at himself. This is, you know, calculus. And the way he works, he's going, well, I should have thrown the ball underneath to Kelsey. It was open. Could have got a first down. Instead, he threw the ball to Tyreek Hill, gave him a chance to catch it. And if the free safety wouldn't have played it perfectly, there would have been a completion there. Did you watch the Packers game at all? You may not have cared or got home, but the Packers were down to a point where they needed to keep the drive alive. And the Seahawks were coming, right? And it's third and whatever, third and long, I think. And they throw the same type of route, kind of a corner route against double coverage, and they get a completion because the safety doesn't get over there.
That was the Adams, right?
Yeah. Adams catches the ball, right? And then they kneel down, game over.
That was a huge play. Yeah.
How much better play was it by the Texans' safety to get there and separate the ball? I mean, it was a great play, and they couldn't replicate that. The Seahawks couldn't replicate it. In fact, he was three steps away when Adams caught it. It wasn't even hard. That could have easily been Tyreek Hill, a nice 25-yard gain. Here we go. Patrick Mahomes played perfect all day. The worst thing you could say is that crossing route, it was 6 inches behind.
Robinson.
When he would put two hands up, you might catch it. But Patrick Mahomes plays a perfect game under that kind of stress. So when it turned around and everyone else joined him and started playing great, here go the Chiefs. But it still amazes me that I don't think you have a negative play all day long, and he turned into Deshaun Watson. I thought Deshaun Watson scrambling would be a big factor if the Texans were going to upset the Chiefs. And guess who looked like Deshaun Watson? Patrick Mahomes. When he saw that man-to-man and ran for 15 here and 20 there, just cut their heart out. And Deshaun Watson, you know, the real question, and we don't know the inside because the coaches won't tell us, either didn't make good decisions in the running game when the Chiefs rushed four. He never found that gap to run in. They needed him to run. I still said it before the game, and I say it afterwards. He had to run for them to win. It's either that he didn't do it and made bad decisions and just wasn't as excellent as he needs to be to beat the Chiefs, or there's a small part of me that says, remember that the New England defensive line coach is now the Chiefs' defensive line coach, and the way that they rushed Patrick Mahomes last year with New England was the greatest individual unit performance I've seen other than a quarterback, where they kept Patrick Mahomes in the pocket. They rushed with a style like a band. They knew exactly where they should be. And maybe that's what we saw with different levels. You know, the guys rushing, maybe they knew where they were supposed to be in every step of the rush, and they weren't trying to get back there. But Deshaun not running, either because of the Chiefs' defensive line or because he didn't make good choices, was a big differential.
You know, I like Mike Pinnell a lot, and he's been good against the run, and he didn't play. He was inactive that first game against the Tennessee Titans. They went with Joey Ivey instead, and Ivey's no longer on the team. And I think that Pinnell has been one of the unsung heroes in that front seven. I've liked him a lot, and I know that there's a chance that Chris Jones doesn't play. But I am excited that Mike Pinnell is going to play, because it was really bizarre that he wasn't active for that first Tennessee game. But I think this is exactly the kind of game where he could excel in.
Because you got to get dirty. Yeah. And is it Saunders? Is the other?
Kalen Saunders.
Those two dudes don't
Colin.
Get any.
Colin Saunders.
Those guys don't get any credit. And I think they played at a high level all year long. I mean, when the Texans ran over the Chiefs is when the Chiefs changed things. And Spagnuolo said, we're not going to allow teams to run anymore. Forget coordinators, Sutton or whatever. The Chiefs were still the Chiefs early in the year. But when the Texans finally showed that the offensive coordinator would be willing to run 41 runs, 42 passes, and we're going to pound it at you, Chiefs, they changed after that and said, we're bringing Tyrann Mathieu up. We're putting Reggie Ragland in the game. But you know what else? They put those young defensive tackles in, and those guys have fought like crazy all year long. There's not enough pub for them to get it, but you go watch the tape. Those dudes have been making plays and not getting blocked.
We've got Stan Weber in studio back after this on WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jake Gutierrez. Stan Weber is in studio with us right now. Be safe out there. It can be slick. There's some ice on the ground, so take your time. Drive slow, and you should be okay. We want everyone to be safe and get ready for what should be a fantastic weekend leading up to the AFC Championship game. You can listen to both the AFC and NFC Championship games right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stan Weber, if Chris Jones doesn't play, how big of a loss is that?
It's some, but it's not a major factor. When you look at all the, you know, 120, 140 plays that they'll play in the ball game, he can make a difference here or there. But, you know, I think he's really good, and he can create disruption. I think one of the biggest weaknesses that you'll see with the Titans, one of the ways that they'll lose this game is that they don't protect the quarterback well. They get sacked a lot. And sacks equal punts. So if you get three sacks, you got three punts, and you start counting up the drives. Tennessee wants as few drives as possible, right? They don't want 14 drives in a game. They'd rather have 9 or 10. If you get three of them blown up by a sack, then that's just not good news for them. And Chris Jones is the most likely guy to create that sack. Tannehill's a smart quarterback. He has running ability. He's a winner. But when that pressure comes up right in your face, there's just nothing you can do. And so Chris Jones is a big-time player. But again, in the whole scheme of things, you're not a defensive lineman and what he might contribute in a game compared to, say, a quarterback or a running back or a tight end or wide receiver. It's just weighted completely differently in my mind.
So Stan, I want to go back to what you were talking about with this Titans team being 9-7 and not – I'm with you in general on that topic. I feel like they don't have a great quarterback. They're not some elite team. But some people will make the argument that since they made the switch to Tannehill, they're 9-4 overall, if you count these two playoff wins. And their point production went up 12 points a game when they switched to him. So does that change the way you think of it at all? They're not necessarily – they were 2-3 before Tannehill, 9-4 since. How big of a difference has he made for that team?
He's made a big difference. And here's the biggest thing. You win NFL games oftentimes on third down conversions. It's converted a little bit the way the NFL moves the football. I would almost start changing that to, let's talk about what the red zone's like. Just think about the Chiefs' comeback. If they wouldn't have scored touchdowns and would have kicked field goals, it would have been a whole different scenario of how long it took and all of that. So getting touchdowns now is a big deal. But third down conversions has been for the longest term and still very important. They're at about a 46% third down conversion rate with Tannehill at quarterback. So what they need to do when they play the style that they do is make those third down plays. Because they may run a couple times, probe, and go, shucks, it's 3rd and 5. And if you can't just get 5-plus yards, 5.1 or whatever, you have to punt. And the difference is monumental. And that's the way they play. And that's the kind of quarterback Tannehill is. You can talk about him not being elite and all that. That's fine. But he's a winner. It's not too big for him. He used to play wide receiver, had over 1,000 yards at Texas A&M. He's a team guy. He's willing to put his body on the line. He understands how to move in the pocket, find guys. And he really is about, it's 3rd and 5. Nothing about what we're going to do with this play. It's like, let's just get 5 yards. So, yeah, they've been a better team with Tannehill, no doubt about it. And if Henry stays hot, he becomes a giant factor. They have a formula. You know, last week, this is the best way for me to explain it very quickly. The Texans are what they are. You know, they pretty much... They don't have much standard deviation. You just know what you're getting with them, okay? The Titans are just the opposite. They explode all over the spectrum. They can be awful, but they can be good like the Texans can't, and that's the danger factor. If they play their best game, they are much more dangerous than the Texans because they have the capability of Henry getting 200 yards rushing, Tannehill throwing the ball downfield as well as any quarterback, and scrambling, and a coach in Vrabel and a defense that aligns himself and makes some plays. They are dangerous, but it really just means they have, what, a 10 to 30% chance of winning. I mean, everything has to go right. But even if everything went right for the Texans, they still were unlikely to win. Oh, hey, they were ahead 24-0. I think everything did go right for them. And they still couldn't handle it, couldn't keep up.
We've got Stan Weber in studio back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. And Stan, you mentioned the Chiefs' ability to score touchdowns in the red zone, scoring 7 straight touchdowns, which was just remarkable. And that's one of the big reasons why they won. Well, that's one of the big reasons why they lost the first time around against the Titans. Harrison Butker was 4 out of 5 in field goal attempts. You remember the last one was blocked. But you also had the botched field goal that led to a incomplete pass from Dustin Colquitt that was ruled intentional grounding. So really 6 times they had to settle for field goals in that game against Tennessee. And you were talking about Patrick Mahomes and his mobility. isn't that a big difference? Because that was his first game back from injury, and clearly he's healthier now, and he's more mobile and able to run better now. And that was, I thought, a big factor in their success in the red zone. Not only did he pick up big yards when there were openings, but his mobility, moving around, being able to create plays and put more stress on the defense. He's a threat to run, but also extending those plays and those passes to Kelce. A better mobility, a healthier Patrick Mahomes could lead to more success in the red zone this time around against the Titans.
No doubt about it. He didn't run one time against the Titans, the only time in his career, because he just had come back. Oh, he threw for 450, though. I mean, it's not like he was really hurting the team at all. But let's just go back, and if you want to create a little bit of concern, and I think you've got to respect the opponent. I mean, I can tell you why the red carpet's been laid out for the Chiefs since Miami beat New England, but if you want to start looking for concerns and ways that you might lose this AFC Championship game, not with stupid fluke stuff, but legitimate football, go back and watch the Texans game. The Chiefs didn't just roll into the end zone every time. The pass to Williams, the back hip pass, he walks in the end zone, right? Didn't take him long. But most of these were Kelce catches on third down. And they were more basketball plays or backyard football plays than they were regular football plays. You just can't recreate what Mahomes did, the way he flipped the ball, the angles he did, you know, barely having his back foot on the line still, and then Kelce making little catches. They were more like basketball passes in the lane than they were football, and it was all about the mobility. He had complete control of, he could go fast, he could slow down, get his arm ready, and he was dealing out there. I mean, he could do that again, but those still were, what, if they weren't inches plays, and we know the pass where his heel was almost over the line was inches, but most of those touchdowns to Kelce were 6 inches, a foot off. If something happens, it's an incomplete pass and you kick a field goal. So his mobility is big. The other thing is, here we go through this equation, away from the red zone for a second, if that's okay, Stephen.
Sure.
And back to the mobility stuff. Here's the thing that Patrick Mahomes, his knowledge base and what he's doing to defenses, what has been a big story we've heard about this week? How do you play the Chiefs defense? Do you play the zone or do you play man-to-man? And most people said, do you realize Patrick Mahomes' quarterback rating is higher than anybody else in the NFL when he sees his zone defense? So most of these teams that are in the playoffs are going, we just can't do it. We just cannot sit in the zone and get beat. So then you go man-to-man, and you start having to deal with it. And then you decide who you're going to double, and you make that whole plan up. You know the one factor that isn't talked about enough with the man-to-man? When there's man-to-man, and Patrick Mahomes knows it, he knows when he runs it's a free run.
Right.
Free run. He's not taking hits. There's no doubt. It's like a passing play. His 15-yard runs are like a 15-yard pass completion, because when he drops back and looks, he goes, oh, I see where the pass rushers are. I'll just take it and run. And he has the mobility to go. So when you're a coach and you're playing man-to-man, it's hard enough to stop the Chiefs, and then you let him have free runs, it's death. I mean, the Texans just sit there and go, we guarded everybody well, and he's dancing 20 yards down the field, and we don't even hit him. Because he realizes man-to-man immediately when he hit his back foot and said, I'm out of here. This is easy. It is lethal when he can move.
We've got Stan Weber in studio, Herm Edwards coming up, Gary Lezak, our conversations with Eric Bieniemy and Dustin Colquitt and Sammy Watkins, all that and more coming up right here on this Red Friday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Chiefs.
Second down, goal to go for Watson at the 4. Duke Johnson in the backfield. DeAndre Hopkins wide to the right. Snap right at him. Now zips it over the middle, and it's going to be caught for a Texan touchdown to Fells. Haseman is down, and Fairbairn's kick is up, and it's barely inside the right upright. And it's 24-0 Houston. 24-0 Houston. 5 minutes into the second quarter. Middle blitz picked up. Left side throw caught. 10-4. Touchdown. Damian Williams. Touchdown. Kansas City. 24-7 Houston. 8-11 remaining second quarter. Damian Williams. Sidecar position. Halfback left. Mahomes calls an audible on this second goal at the 5. A trio of receivers to the right for Kansas City. Mahomes takes the snap. Steps up, being pressured, fires it late. Caught, Kelce dives! Touchdown! Kansas City on the near side. The Kansas City Chiefs have scored 2 touchdowns in a span of 2 minutes and 49 seconds. Goal line taken by Carter at the 15. Veers to the right. Gets to the 20. Ball's out. Picked up by Thompson. Thompson 15 to the 10. He's down to the 8-yard line. D-Train's got it. He's running on Tulsa time. And the Tulsa rookie gets it down inside the Texan 10-yard line. Game on at Arrowhead. Sprint out action to the right side. Mahomes holding it. Now fires it late. Kelsey gets into the end zone, turning his left shoulder. Touchdown, Kansas City. 20 points in lightning fashion by the Kansas City Chiefs. Great protection. And Travis Kelsey is tearing the Texans up. Damian Williams, halfback left side. Kelsey trots in motion across the face of Mahomes, who sprints out to the left side. He's holding it. He's going to try to hold it. Throws it late. And is it caught in the... It's caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! The Chiefs take the lead! And Kelsey with another catch on a sprint-out run-pass option again! And Kelsey gargling in the sweet nectar of the end zone. Hand off Williams from the left side! Leans the shoulder in! Touchdown! Kansas City! Six! Count them, six! Unanswered touchdowns by the Chiefs. A gain of 5 yards and a touchdown. After being down 24 to nothing, the Chiefs lead 40 to 24.
Yeah, I think having Coach Reed, he understands that there's going to be unscouted stuff. There's going to be different looks that we're not prepared for. So being able to make adjustments quickly is something that he preaches. And also knowing that the speed of the game is going to take another step. I mean, it's hard to think about that when you're in the NFL, but every single round you get in the playoffs, it seems like it gets a little bit faster. And so we're just going to lean on that, lean on his experience and trust in his game plan that he's going to put us in position to win.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Red Friday, January 17, 2020. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati and Jake Gutierrez. We've got Stan Weber in studio, and we told you it's getting icy out there, so please be careful. I know most of the schools are closed, but we just got an update. Gary Lezak and several other people are tweeting out that a plane slid off the runway. Mm. There's no injuries reported, but a Delta Airlines plane slipped off the runway, so it's very slick out there. So KCI Airport has closed the airfield right now. So they are not doing anything in an effort to be safe because of so much ice. And so if you are headed out to the airport, if you got a flight, nope. So there you go, Stan Weber. Do you have to travel? What's you good?
No, I always have to travel, but yeah, it's not too far. I've got Manhattan tomorrow.
Okay.
And not bad at all today. Just around Kansas City. That's enough. It's
right.
Dangerous. So
right.
Stay where you are if you can. It really, it's a big differential. It's very dangerous out there. So yeah, I've one more big leg to downtown Kansas City
right
from here, but I'm glad to be in the studio. And how about that montage?
Wonderful.
By Jake, great job. And how about Mitch Holtz's? You know, Jake, you're young enough, you may not know this, but hey, I love TV more than anybody else, right? I mean, I love watching sports on TV, but isn't radio cool? I've been able to do 33 years of broadcasting radio, but for the first 9 years, Mitch Holtz.
Oh, I remember.
Was a play-by-play. Mitch Holtz is the guy who taught me. I have no broadcasting experience. Mitch Holtz had to put up with me I was a little kid and didn't know anything about anything. And he, for 9 years, helped teach me so much. You know, he's brilliant. He's good. He's just as good off the air in how he thinks about life and everything else. And then he and his wife, Tammy, I mean, you're just talking about one of the greatest human beings, period. But from a talent standpoint, as a radio broadcaster, awesome. And when I'm sitting there listening, I'm just going, wow. It's been a long time, but it still just feels so natural for me to have Mitch calling the play over there. 9 years. And when you're younger and you're learning,
yep,
each year's longer, right? So
yep,
it's kind of like 9 times 3 is 27, because now the years fly by. And it's just, you know, bang, 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 we're doing the same thing. I can't believe basketball season's half over, you know, for college. It just flies. But those first 9 years, it was snail's pace. I was every syllable I could hear Mitch say, and I was learning how to broadcast. So
how blessed are Chiefs fans to go from Kevin Harlan to Mitch Holtz? I mean, those are the only two Chiefs announcers I've ever known for the radio broadcast. in my whole life. I mean, that's amazing. So it's
it is incredible.
They're both fantastic professionals. They're the best at what they do, and we're lucky to have had Kevin Harlan, and we are super lucky to have Mitch now as Chiefs fans.
Yep. Did Mitch teach you how to put the hammer down?
No, it was
ever.
It was K-State wins. It's a big, 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 big victory for the Cats today.
Love it. Love it.
I don't know. I may have gotten in trouble for doing that. I don't know if you're supposed to do that. And it's out of honor, right?
Yeah, you're paying homage to him.
But Mitch is a historian, man, from every respect. You know, I mean, from U.S. history, K-State history.
Our guy's a wealth of knowledge.
Chiefs history. And Mitch and I used to hang out together all the time. And he was so knowledgeable about what was going on in college sports and everything else. And I just loved the NFL since I was a little kid. I just hit it at the right time. The Super Bowl era, right? I basically don't remember Super Bowl 1 and 2, and I'm locked in on Super Bowl 3 when the Jets win. So basically I've grown up only in the rise of the NFL on TV and everything else. And so I used to talk with Mitch all the time about the NFL, how great it was. And then it was so much fun when he got a chance to jump in, and now he's the historian of all time when you think about the NFL. But guys, here's an interesting one. Do you realize if the Chiefs get the job done Sunday, if the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years, it will be the first time the Chiefs have ever made the Super Bowl as an NFL team. Since they joined the NFL, they've never been to the Super Bowl. They were an AFL team playing in the last AFL game when they beat the Raiders in 1969. You got the shirt that honors the Chiefs from 1969. And it was January 11th, 1970, when they beat the Vikings. But that was the last representation. They had an AFL sticker on their jersey. They've never played in this game as an NFL team.
I'm glad you brought that up. I was actually talking to a friend of mine last night who was unaware of that. And I guess we shouldn't take for granted that there's a lot of people out there that don't understand that, because the person I was talking to last night, I was telling him, you know, since the merger, they haven't won Super Bowl. I said, well, I thought they won Super Bowl IV. I said, yeah, they were still two separate leagues at that time. Said, they didn't join when the Super Bowl started, and Super Bowl I, they weren't the same league. No, they were not. And the reason, I mean, and I know that stuff not because I was alive for it. My dad used to tell me about it all the time, but at least the way my dad always painted the picture was, okay, yeah, Joe Namath went out and won the Super Bowl, but everybody kind of still thought, well, that was a little bit of a fluke. That was a Cinderella story. The NFL is still way better than the AFL. There's a senior league here, and then there's the kind of upstart AFL league that's not, we don't really still take it as seriously as the NFL. But when the Chiefs came back and won it against the Vikings, at least according to my dad, that was the one that really verify to everybody, you know, this league is on par with the NFL. These guys are playing in the same pool, so to speak.
It let them adapt and play without argument very quickly. The merger already had been decided upon. Congratulations to Lamar Hunt from the AFL, Pete Rozelle, the great commissioner of the NFL. Those two guys are really the ones who came together and found common ground. But the AFL was completely disrespected when you look at 1966 when the Chiefs went to the first Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Vince Lombardi basically threw barbs at him, not because he necessarily disrespected Buck Buchanan and Len Dawson. It's just because all his NFL brethren and all the citizens of the U.S. just said, you cannot respect the AFL. So he had to act like Super Bowl I. Oh, this is easy. We've already won the championship. We were NFL champions. We beat the Dallas Cowboys. This is just kind of, we'll go out here. And he tried to do that for the first two games and got by with it. And they beat the Raiders, and they beat the Raiders bad in Super Bowl II. But they beat the Cowboys in two epic games to get there, one in a Cotton Bowl and one the Ice Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay. But when the Jets pulled off the upset in Miami against the Baltimore Colts, then a whole new respect level came. I think that allowed Lamar Hunt to negotiate better. But by the time they were ready to come together in 1970, when the Chiefs did their business in January, all the talk about how different they were, minor league versus major league, was over. And one of the crazy things was there weren't that many AFL teams, so they had to balance the league up. And teams had to leave the NFL. How about this? Just having, in a society where we just want to argue with each other, we're the greatest country in the world, and all we want to do is argue about everything and take sides. Why don't I agree with you, Nate? Let's find a reason to hate each other.
You sound like Jake now.
Jake's being quiet back there.
I'm just listening.
You can see his face.
No, I'm listening.
No, he meant okay, you sound like Jake when you say, I don't agree with you, Nate.
Right.
I dislike you.
Yeah, right.
That's, I hate you.
That's,
no, okay.
It was that, and not the tone. It was the actual verbiage.
Just the words.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, this is the greatest country in the world. I don't know why we don't get along and do things to help each other out and find connectivity. But you know what? Back then, teams agreed to move over to the AFL. Pittsburgh Steelers, Baltimore Colts. They said, we'll go over and be part of the AFC. Mm-hmm. You know how hard that was at that time? But again, Lamar Hunt, the Chiefs' verification by beating the Vikings. And oh, by the way, it not only was that, Nate, it was giant, right? Because that's the games you watch. But preseason games used to count. They used to play 6 preseason games. And the starters played the whole game. And when they got into the Super Bowl era, the one thing they started doing is saying, let's go ahead and have an AFL team play an NFL team in the preseason. And I think, who did the Chiefs just wipe up? You have to look back at the records, but they beat someone like 59-17, and no one thought the AFL, you know, really? And the Chiefs whipped them, and that preseason game vaulted the Chiefs' confidence and this whole thing about the merger. So Lamar Hunt obviously was the guy who was the one who represented the AFL, but the Chiefs also, like your dad said, really cleared the way for respect, where the Colts, the Steelers could say, we'll join the AFC, we'll join together and be called the NFL, and it went very smoothly. You know, I was a kid. I was very focused on everything that was happening, and there was not, like, that happened in 1970. It wasn't in 1973 they were at each other's throats. I mean, they were together in 1970. When the Super Bowl was played in 1970, no one was griping. Do you know who represented the AFC in 1970? Jake, you got this one?
Was it the Raiders?
No. It was the Baltimore Colts.
Oh, the
NFL team. Mm-hmm. You know how much trash they could have talked at, right, at Super Bowl V?
Right.
They go, these AFL teams are a joke. We went over here, whipped them, went to the Super Bowl, and Super Bowl V, the Bumble Bowl, because there's so many turnovers. It was crazy. But the Dallas Cowboys lost to the Baltimore Colts. But again, what was so cool is there wasn't animosity. There wasn't disrespect. Everyone was working together. So credit to all those guys to do that. But like your dad said, credit Joe Namath first, because he really busted the wall down and made them say we could find a better solution than fight each other and bid players up and get drafted by two different leagues. And then the Chiefs just said, in preseason first and then in the Super Bowl, we're all equal. There's no such thing as little league and big league. We're just football teams.
And all these years later, we're still waiting for the Chiefs to get back to the Super Bowl.
Unbelievable. And we passed the 50-year anniversary of that Super Bowl.
And that's why it means so much to so many different people. I mean, and look, I get more emotional than most people thinking about all these things because I think about all the people that I watched games with throughout my entire life and what it means to me and what it's meant to me to be a Chiefs fan. And for most of my life, my mom used to have to put up with me during Chiefs games and how I would act. And it wasn't good, Stan. It wasn't. I'd lose my mind. I'd just go. And ever since I was a kid, I've told stories of what I would do after terrible Chiefs losses. But I think back to who took me to my first Chiefs game. And that was my grandpa, Danny Ontiveros. And I remember going with him. I remember going with him to see Derek Thomas play for the first time at Arrowhead Stadium. I remember going with him when Bo Jackson came here with the Raiders.
And, you remember going to that Buffalo Monday night game and Marty Schottenheimer football?
Oh, yeah.
The place that was the loudest night ever.
It was new.
It was exciting. It was new to Kansas City, and defense was the thing where you need to be loud, and it was okay to chop. And I mean,
I think going to that game, the Chiefs were 3-2, and the Bills were 5-0, maybe.
As big of a deal as Monday Night Football is now, it was a way bigger deal
that
then.
Was everything.
It was the first Monday Night
game. That was
game
only prime time
in
game.
A long time.
The blimp's in town. The blimp's here.
Yeah.
Did you see that? The blimp is here. No. It's here. Go outside. Look, the blimp's here.
I remember us being at practice that day, and the blimp was flying all around downtown, and where we practiced it at Ward, it was you could see it, and we were freaked out. But I don't even know if Sunday Night Football had started. It started right around that time. I don't know if it even started yet.
I think it's pre-Sunday Night Football. And this is Monday Night Football was still the biggest show in town.
I mean, it's
how
funny
they
that,
deteriorated that for product.
Oh, it's so sad.
Man.
It's so sad because I try to talk to my son about this stuff now when there's a game of some sort on every single night. My son literally asks when I pick him up from school now, hey, what games are on tonight? Because in his world, there's a game on every of some sort. There's a college basketball. There's something. Back in those days, I used to take a VHS recorder and record Monday Night Football and then watch it like three times again the rest of the week because there was nothing else on until the next Sunday.
And they were the biggest games, only the best teams.
By the way, they beat the Bears 66-14. That was the game you
That's
were asking
That's the game
about.
I'm talking about. What year was that?
66-14.
We had two people say it was the Bears. Someone said Chiefs stumped the Bears in the preseason game. I was there. And someone else said Bears 66-14. That's who they beat.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big deal.
But you
and they
know,
put the hammer down, baby. The Chiefs did not let up.
But it's
Hank Stram. Hopefully, Mitch, this is all on honoring Mitch saying these things.
That's
okay,
right.
They had to make a statement, and they wanted to pound the Bears.
But you know the thing about it too is that those the four of us in this room can also talk about going to games in the 80s when Arrowhead was half empty, and the teams at that time, I mean, the Chiefs, the Royals owned this town in the 80s. And it wasn't until Carl Peterson and Marty Schottenheimer got here that all of a sudden this town came back to being just completely Chiefs crazy. And
which meant the 90s because they came in 89.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it was
89, they were 8-7-1 and finished just outside the playoffs.
But Marty,
I still remember Paul Palmer having that punt, that kick return where he did the Nestie plunge in the end zone, and you thought, okay, now they got this Christian Okoye and Paul Palmer, and they're gonna start to
Barry
be
Word.
Good. Yeah, and it's
Steve DeBerg.
It's the way that Arrowhead came to life in the 80s. It's like it's back like that kind of now. And it'll never be exactly the same.
Yeah, it's amazing that it's continued on with so many distractions and ability for people to do so many things.
Yeah.
The enthusiasm level, the in-stadium participation and showing up to the games is expensive and all that is going down everywhere. I mean, we'll get to basketball later, right? We're going later, not
empty,
today, later.
Right.
Later.
You see empty seats
basketball
in all
games,
sports.
Later in our
lives.
Yeah,
but especially basketball.
Yeah.
And in football and the NFL, it's become a visiting game sport, in my opinion, mm-hmm. this year, where fans want to go experience or people who like the Vikings around here mm-hmm. will pay a lot of money because it's only going to be one every 8 years that they get. So you look at all the stadiums, and you're seeing tons of visiting fans go for the experience. The home team's not dominating. To see Arrowhead Stadium rocking like we did last Sunday, because I went to the game, to see it emulate what it was in the 90s, mm-hmm. when it was new and big and about defense and screaming, to even be in the same ballpark, and it was right there with it, is pretty amazing. Congratulations to the Chiefs fans for bringing it, spending the money. I mean, it's a ton of money. When I brought my son to the game, and he doesn't get to go to many games because he's pretty busy with college, and I looked up there, and on the sign it said, parking, $60. And I don't know if that was the day of game price or if that's the one that, you know, I had a pass. But, hey, $60 just to drive into the game? And here we go. You know, it's a lot of money for people. So what an awesome experience. And I was right next to Rob Riggle and the Kansas City guys.
Eric Stone Street
and Rob Riggle. I could have tossed a Nerf ball and hit them from where I was in the suite.
You should have.
Next to their suite. I didn't bother them, but I looked over and I go, I think that's Rob Riggle. And then I saw Eric. And definitely, so it was pretty cool.
And
I met Tony Romo, so I checked that one off.
Wow.
That was cool.
That would
Jim Nance
great.
And Tony Romo, I went and said hi to those guys.
Romo's awesome.
He's about
I
to
hadn't
get
met Tony Romo.
Too.
Right. And they'll be back at it again for CBS on Sunday, that same broadcast crew. And so if the Chiefs are to finally get over this hump and get back to the Super Bowl, just tell me how you think this game needs to play out. Tell me how you think this game is going to play out on Sunday at Arrowhead.
Well, I think the Chiefs, first of all, will move the ball and cause some havoc in the passing game and won't make mistakes. They had the bad stuff in the first quarter. That won't happen again. So I got the Chiefs getting into the 30s, which is pretty incredible for playoff football. The Titans, you know, got to play great to get to the 30. So if the Chiefs, fail and score 27, maybe the Titans can win 28-27, something like that. But they don't have a great chance. Obviously, you can't let the Titans get off to an early lead because then you bring in Derrick Henry with the lead. And they have a play that they can call when they have the lead. They can run the football. I think, you know, the Chiefs just need to be effective when they get into the red zone. They can't have three of their scoring drives be field goals, and they can't allow the Titans to convert too much on third down because it's going to be a third down game. Even with Derrick Henry running the ball well, there are going to be a ton of third downs. And the difference between making and not is night and day. The first third down of the game against the Texans, Stephen, they were coming your direction, I believe, from where I thought you probably were.
That's right.
It was third and seven or eight. And I turned and over-dramatized this statement, and I said, this is going to be one of the biggest plays of the game. Because if the Texans have to punt right here and Mahomes gets the football, they're going to move the ball, get a field goal, touchdown, and here we go. Once it gets going in a Chiefs way, they're the better team. But if they convert this third down, who knows, they might put a drive together where sure enough, they complete a little slant, the quick slant over the middle, right, against Matthew. First down, they drove the ball down, got a touchdown. That's the plays. Watch those third down plays, because if the Titans hit them and they avoid sacks, then they can be a factor. Because Derrick Henry's going to be good. He's going to pound against the Chiefs, and if they get a lead, they can be dangerous. And what the Titans really need, no turnovers, almost no sacks, stay in the game, but they need one ball to bounce off someone's hands and turn it into an interception. It rarely happens, but that's what got them the Baltimore game. The Ravens went right down the field on the first drive, and a ball bounced off a receiver's hands, and they got a turnover. And that's what they've been able to do in their first couple of games, get a turnover here or there. They're well-coached. They're tough. They're on a roll. They are dangerous, but still, are you kidding me? If you lined up before the year and said, we get to play a 9-7 Titan team to go to the Super Bowl at home, will you take that? It's like, are you kidding me?
Hell yes!
This is the best chance to go to the Super Bowl since 2009 when it was the Jets rolling in. I mean, this is a mismatch. If you played it 100 times, the Chiefs roll. They only get to play once. But it's right there, man.
Yeah, my heart can't take 100 times, Stan. I thought it was one right here.
One game. Can Patrick Mahomes continue to just play great all the time?
Yes.
I mean, he hasn't even had a slump game yet. So just lay him out. If he played perfect. Go watch the tape of the first quarter.
He was great.
Oh, I did.
He did nothing wrong.
No.
And they're down 24-0. And they laugh at 24-0. So, you know, I got the Chiefs, 35-24, something like that.
I'll take that. I'll take anything. I'll take a 1-point victory. But I do think they score in the 30s. And somebody asked me, what's the number they have to get to that unless things go crazy, that Tennessee can't get to? I just think 31.
Yeah.
I know so Tennessee scored.
If the Titans are in the 30s, it'll be dangerous because that means that the Chiefs weren't on the field as much. They're less likely to get 30. The pressure may build in the stadium. It could be a little nerve-wracking. I don't think it's going to be a big problem. But we have to say this lastly, and I don't think it's going to be a jinx city and all of that, but it will be a disaster if they lose. It'll be a disaster. You do not get these opportunities. Home games, AFC Championship, and last year was New England, and they didn't get over the hump. Okay, I still said don't take it for granted that, oh, you'll be back. That was a super missed opportunity. You should have won, blah, blah, blah. But this year's off the charts. Everything's set up. You're so much the better team. You have to win. But the floodgates, I'll get positive before I leave, because this is mostly positive, right?
All right.
Floodgates open. If they win, we become the New England Patriots, where everybody starts the year going, Chiefs to the Super Bowl, Chiefs to the Super Bowl. And it won't happen every year. But we may make the Super Bowl 3 to 5 times in the Mahomes era if they win here and open it up and take all the stigma away. And everybody in the country is wearing Chiefs gear like they wear New England gear or Cowboy gear or Steeler gear. The difference between winning and losing this game is as much as night and day.
My God. I need Sunday. You're full of inspiration today. You could feel it. It's magic. It's going to happen on Sunday.
The NFL is magic.
You can feel
winning
it.
Is magic.
The Chiefs are going to win, aren't they?
Yeah, they're going to win.
Come on, Stan.
Yeah. Look at Jake's face.
And root for the Packers. Jake didn't ask me. Don't want to see the 49ers.
No.
No, that's a great matchup. That's not a good matchup.
The red carpet will continue to be laid out if the Packers show up.
How perfect.
Instead of the 49ers.
A rematch of Super Bowl I on the centennial
for everyone except people trying to buy tickets.
Right.
And when they beat Green Bay, they'll have beaten three teams that beat them in the regular season. It just said that. Let's just mark those off. There will be only one team they lost to, and they need to just schedule them a couple weeks and say, let's go beat you too, and show that none of that mattered when we lost to you guys. So, no, I think the Niners are a legitimate opponent. Niners-Chiefs will be big-time football.
I think the only way I'm going to the Super Bowl is if it's Chiefs-Packers.
That's the only way?
I think. that I'll have a ticket under $5,000.
Well,
I won't max out a credit card.
Look at you. Look at this guy.
Wow.
Stephen St. John looks you in the eyes all the time.
He does.
He may be getting his credit card out for you. Don't. And Susan may say, right. You know what?
No.
Jake is such a good guy.
For all he's done for
and he's worked so hard. I mean, who showed more perseverance and more toughness losing 20 pounds or whatever you lost?
10.
10, yeah. 20, 150,
yeah.
Whatever it is. I think Steven might say, hey, when the Royals won, you splurged for a little bit, didn't you? Did you spend a little bit of money?
I'm still digging myself out of that.
Yeah, I think I just got clear. Yeah.
I'll be credentialed. So that's good for the bank account.
2 o'clock kickoff, Tony Romo, Jim Nantz. This is awesome.
I haven't seen something so aggressive out of this guy. He's talking, you know...
Yeah, there are just some,
yes, you threw a number out there.
There's some discussions that were had.
So under 5,000, it sounds like you're ready to get up to that.
Well,
is my point. What's
no,
your cutoff?
My point is that if it's Chiefs Packers, I think
your
I have a
cutoff.
A nice ticket.
How much will you pay to go to the Chiefs right now? Say it.
Well, it depends
to go
on
see the
flight.
Chiefs and the Super Bowl.
How much would you buy a ticket for? Talk about it Monday.
How much would you buy a ticket for?
Talk about it.
How much would you buy a ticket for right now?
How much do I have to check my credit card balance?
Right. Okay, there he'll max it out. He'll max it out. Jake's going to max it out, Kansas City.
I can only make certain offers.
That's Stan Weber. Stan, thank you. Now you've coerced Jake into maxing out his credit cards. We'll be right back after this with Herm Edwards on Sports Radio 810 WHB.